be in this atmosphere and not have something. That would be impossible. The atmosphere here is so wonderful. Go ahead and have a seat for a few minutes, okay? I've got something I know I need to share with you for a few minutes. But wow, this place is great. You know, I heard the Lord say this as we were worshiping. I heard him say a lot of things. But concerning this church, I don't know about this other than what the Lord told me. But this church has a healing anointing upon it. It's called to that. And I'm sure if you look through the records, it's been prophesied many times. Don't know that myself, but by the Holy Ghost. This church has got a healing anointing upon it. And your pastor is going to operate in a strong healing anointing when they come together and pray, because they're going to have a revelation of the name. You're going to have a revelation of the name. It's the name that does it anyway. Not our holiness. And we'll be holy, but holiness doesn't heal. It's the name. You're going to have a revelation of that. And people are going to come here one way and leave another way. Amen. I believe that so much. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And hallelujah. So I've been studying revival. I've been seeking after it. And man, when I get to a place like this where you're at the threshold of it, you're entering into it. Wow. I just want to stay here and just keep swimming. Because you're on the beginning of something really wonderful, that's for sure. I think Ray Charles could see that. How blessed you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you must understand that we have to go on, you know. And there's much more that God wants to do. His presence is wonderful here. It's obvious Jesus is here. And that's the first evidence you see of a revival is Jesus. He puts a throne right up there. He's the boss. And he gets all the worship. He gets all the glory. And his presence is just gets stronger and stronger. The more we obey him, the more we want him. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Right? Hallelujah. And so I see you want that and you desire that. And that's a great step in the right direction. But you must understand there's other things that we have to learn to move on. And I want to share a few things with you that I believe really will help you. Okay? Praise the Lord. What Jesus wants, he wants a glorious church. And he tells us what that is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. It's a holy church. That's what Jesus wants. That's what God has always wanted. He wants holy children. Just like parents, they want children of obedience. They want their children to obey them. And when they obey them, there's nothing they won't do for them. Right? And that's the same thing God wants. He wants holy, godly children. Amen. And it's the best way to live. It's the right way to live. All right? The reason he wants holy children is because he loves you. Plain and simple. Just like parents want their children to be good and obedient because they love them. Amen. And so everything that God wants for us is out of love. Right? That's what he is motivated. That's what he is. Every decision he makes is based on love. Even when he judges, it's motivated by love. Always. It's for the good. It's for the good. Amen. Always. Amen. And so, Jesus wants to present to himself a glorious church. A church without spot or wrinkle, without blame, holy. And so this is what he is going to do in these last days. We just have to learn how to cooperate with him. Amen. Because this is definitely his will. It's always been his will. Even in the Old Testament, he wanted holy people because he loved them. And that is the true way to live. That is the true life. The life of Christ is the way to true life. It is the way, the truth, and the life. It is the way to true life. Amen. And so, we have to learn how to develop in holiness and purity and cooperating with the Lord. Now, there's two basic theories that most people teach, either out of one camp or another, on how to become holy. And I want to talk about both of them. Number one is where a lot of people are at. And they believe that salvation, of course, is a gift that's received of God. It's of His grace. It's free, right? But they believe that sanctification is accomplished by works. And a lot of ministers believe this and teach this, and a lot of people abide by this. They try to form good habits. They try to get rid of bad habits. They fast. They pray. They do all kinds of works. Trying to become holy. And of course, they'll always say now, but you always have to trust the Lord because He has to help you to do it. You know, they always put that on there. But see, this is false doctrine. The Bible doesn't teach this. If you do that, if you live your life, because I know I've tried these things. I looked at both of these methods, and both are wrong, and neither one will work. If you try to abide by this method of going after your own sanctification, you will be one frustrated Christian. You'll be that Romans chapter 7 guy. You'll always be in a fight and you'll never win. And if you do make some progress, and you will if you become disciplined, of course you will make some progress. Even people in the world become better by, disciplining and forming good habits. But you will begin this, you'll be in the category of the Pharisees and scribes if you go that direction. Yes, you will. God's not pleased with that. And so the other method is what more you would probably, this church, most churches that we associate with, would go with. And that is this: when you were born again, you were made righteous, you were made holy, you were made complete. You'll be no more righteous or holy than you are right now. And this is a free gift that was given by God. And so, and the problem with this doctrine is all that is true, but when it's a half-truth, then it's not true. And so what happens in that type of teaching, they say that's it. There's no really work of sanctification. There's no need for sanctification because you're righteous and holy. Your name's in the book. You got a ticket. The problem with that is that's where they stop. They never move on to developing in holiness. They never move on to developing in godliness. They very seldom even move on in the fruit of the Spirit. You see? So this method is wrong too. It does not work. No. There's a sanctification process that takes place, just like there's a new birth process that took place. Okay? And every Christian is supposed to cooperate with God in accomplishing this sanctification work of holiness. And it's easy. I don't know why more people don't teach on it. In the day we live in, there's no teaching on holiness, no teaching on sin, and a lot of Christians are ignorant about it. Christians would rather hear messages that help them to get blessed in earthly, worldly things. You must understand that the way the church is overall, generally, is very asleep and is very weak. And because of that, Christians compare themselves and evaluate themselves horizontally instead of by the book. And what's helped me in all this is I've read about revivals where Christians lived holy lives, great Christian lives, accomplished great things, had a great fire in them, and got lots of people saved. There was times when all the people in the church were that way. Scriptural. A real Christian. Come on now. And so there's been a lack of teaching on this. So what is the answer? Well, it's simple. It's by faith. Everything we receive from God, everything we need comes from God and is received from God by faith. Everything. We live by faith. The just live by faith. If it's not faith, it's sin. You see? You have to believe that Jesus, your sanctifier, because He's just as much as your Savior, He's just as much your healer, He's your sanctifier. It's him that's going to present to his church a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. But you have to seek after it in faith. You've got to desire it. See, most Christians aren't doing that. They're not exercising their faith and praying and believing God for spiritual things. Most are not. They're just occupied with their selfish life. And you have to be woke up to that. You have to realize that. Because you see, just like there's no change for a sinner unless he repents, there's no change for a Christian unless they repent. Repenting doesn't mean getting on the floor and crying, although it could include that. But it means that you have a change of heart, a change of mind. You see? And that's the first step that every Christian needs to make in the direction that the Lord is taking the church right now. You have to change your heart. You've got to change your mind. What do you got to change your heart and change your mind about? Well, many things, but one main important thing. And when you do that, and you stay on that, then everything else will start working out. It's that simple. And what you need to work on is love. And that's what God's working on in here, and that's what some of these other revivals that have started throughout America, the people are falling in love with the Lord again. And that's the first step. Amen. The Apostle Paul told the church in Ephesus to wake up. They were asleep. He told them to be raised from the dead because they were asleep. They were sinning. Sin makes you weak. It puts you asleep. Sin does all kinds of terrible things. We know Jesus hates it. We know it's what murdered him. We know it's what crucified him. He hates it, and so should we. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so, it's by faith that we believe that God sanctifies us, that He's working in us. Is God at work in you, both to will and do your good, to do His good pleasure? Is He? Are you believing that? Are you thanking Him for that? Is God your Father? Is He pruning off all those dead branches that are hindering fruit from coming into your life? Are you believing that? Are you asking for that? Do you want that? Is He washing you with the water of the Word? Is He putting His fire in you? See, these are things that we must seek after. We must believe in faith that we're receiving in our life every day. Every day. This has to become important to us. You see? Everything the devil does, it's pointed at your faith. See, all the fiery darts are pointed at your faith because it's faith that gets and receives from God. If you need to be sanctified, if you need to be purified, it comes from the Lord. He's the one that does it. And He'll do it if you consistently ask and believe that He's doing it in your life. Now, you've got to understand this. With faith, the faith has a lot of enemies. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that there's fiery darts, not dart, fiery darts. The enemy's always trying to get at your faith. You understand that? That's the foundational sin. The foundational sin was unbelief. If God creates you and puts you in this beautiful garden and says, now listen, come over here, son. See that tree? Don't eat from it. If you do, you will surely die. You're not going to eat from it unless you don't believe it. Why did he not believe it? Because there's a devil. There's demons. There's principalities. There's rulers of darkness. There's wicked spirits in the heavenly. There's all kinds of evil. And one thing they're always trying to get Christians to do is doubt. Because if they can put out your faith, then they can stop God from working in your life. Because God will work in you. Believe me, He wants to sanctify you. Do you believe that? Do you believe He has the power to do that? Can He change any one of your weaknesses? Is it hard for Him to change those weaknesses and make you strong? No, He can just increase His influence upon your heart and mind and you'll stop. It's that simple for Him. But we have to believe. And we have to understand that there's an enemy that's trying to stop that. And when you start doing it, he'll try to stop it. That's why he said, put on the armor. That's why he said, be strong. Amen. So one of the things that he'll come against is love. Because we have to understand that, yes, faith comes by hearing and hearing, but faith worketh by love. We've heard the hearing and hearing business for a long time. Thank God for that truth. But the same truth is how it works. We see throughout the Bible, if you have unforgiveness, Bible basically says, Jesus basically said, forget about prayer, forget about faith, forget about everything. You're not getting anything from me until you get it right. Isn't that right? So important that we get our love walk right. So important. And this is the sin that Christians are committing around the world. They're not obeying the first commandment. You see? Your faith will not work if you're not, if your life isn't about loving Jesus. Because your faith is in Jesus. And if you don't know him, you're not going to trust him. And it's going to be easy for the enemy to get doubt in you. The Bible says in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Jesus said he'd rather be, you know, hot or cold. Because the lukewarm, he doesn't want you cold. He wants you hot. He wants you to have a fervent love for him. And really, if you look at it, that's the sin that the church in Ephesus had done. And this is the sin that God's people have done throughout history. There'll be times when they really love God, they're really seeking God because the king is, or because the priest is, or somebody's really, and everybody are following that. And they're loving the Lord. But then there's times when they stop doing that. And it's the same with you and I. We have to renew our love for the Lord. Remember what Jesus said to John on the Isle of Patmos? He said to the church at Ephesus, he said he had something against them. What was it? They left their first love. What kind of a sin is this? When we don't love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. This should be our daily fundamental project, is to love the Lord. It's number one. And again, if you get this one right, you get all of them right. It's easy after that. When you start loving the Lord like you should, like the Bible says, where you go after him every day, amen, everything else becomes easy. Yeah? That's why it says even with the fruit of the Spirit. It lists love. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. And the others are just attributes or ways of explaining what love is. But he said, if you walk in love, then you fulfill the law. You don't have any problem with the law. Amen. And that's what holiness is. It's obedience to all of God's commandments. But you see, if we're disobedient to the first one, if the devil's taken our eyes off of the Lord and got our eyes on whatever idol that you have, because anything you love more than Jesus is an idol. Right? Yeah. Isn't that true? You see? So the first step in all this is to get our love right, our love walk right. And our first place to get it right with is loving the Lord. Amen. Loving the Lord. And look at all the promises and benefits we see in the Bible for doing that. I love what it says in Romans 8:28. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? I taught my family that. I taught them anytime something bad, the first thing that come out of their mouth is, well, this is going to work out for good because I love God. I'm doing what he called me to do. And you know what? It always does. Amen. Do you believe it? What a great promise for those that love God. In Psalms 91, he said he would give us long life. He'd satisfy us with long life. Those that know God and know his name. Those that love God and know his name. Right? Amen. And what a life to really start loving the Lord like you should. Getting to know him. Him becoming your best friend. Can't start your day without him. Wake up thinking about him. Go to bed thinking about him. Can't wait till you can find some more alone time with him. Everything else becomes easy. Yes, it does. It's easy to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I like to say it this way. You begin to love your neighbor like you used to love yourself. Selfiness goes out when you start loving the Lord like you should. He's not selfish. You're not a selfish cell in his being or whatever's in his being. Nah, he's full of love. Amen. And he wants us full of love. I was telling your pastor this in the office. I didn't get a chance to finish the story, but it fits in here. You know, I've studied revival and I've seen there have been two major emphases in revival throughout history since the beginning of the church. And the first one was the emphasis was on holiness. And we see that with people like Charles Finney. And during that time frame, 1800s, you know, late 1800s, early 1700s, 1600s, there was an emphasis on holiness. And Christians, because God was doing that, Christians were living holy lives and people were getting saved because they saw a real Christian. They saw a Christian that God had changed. They saw a Christian who was talking, thinking, living, acting like Christ. And isn't that what your heart wants? Of course it does. Don't you think the Lord's going to do it? Well, if you believe Him to, He will. If you ask Him for it, if you diligently seek it, if you want it, oh yeah, He'll change your desires. He'll change your motives. He'll change your hunger and your thirst. You see? He will. And that's what's going to happen. That's what always happens in revival. Revival breaks that slavery that Satan has put people under that carnality and under worldliness. That revival breaks it. And there's an awakening for a love for God, a love for Jesus. There's an awakening to where the things that you used to do, you just, no way I do those anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what God wants. And so in that revival that happened way back then, it was stamped with holiness, but people got saved. Any true revival, there's lots of moves of God. Okay, but I mean a true revival has to be judged by the book of Acts, the first revival. That is the model for all revivals. And if people haven't gotten saved, then it's not a revival. It may be a move of God. Thank God for moves of God. We want those too. But it has to produce souls because this is God's agenda. And this is another evidence that the church is asleep. This is so important to God, but yet with the church, with the Christians, it hasn't become important. But when revival comes, it will become important. You won't need to use excuses anymore. Well, you know, I'm not the witnessing type. I'm more the one to stay home and pray. You know what I mean? No. No, you'll be fishing like everybody else because it'll be easy and it'll be fun. It'll be wonderful. Amen. This is what we got to look forward to. Now, the other revival that lasted for a long time started in the time of before and around John Alexander Dowie. And it's went up to this time. And in fact, it's where God stamped the revival with healing. And the same thing happened. All kinds of people got healed, but what it did is it produced salvations. Amen. Amen. This next revival, do you know what it's going to be stamped with? Sweet love.
Amen. I like that.
Sweet love. A sweet love for Jesus. A sweet love for each other. Sweet love for the lost. They'll know us by our love for one another. Can you see it? Can you see it? What a wonderful church to be a part of, where everybody just truly, genuinely, sincerely loves each other with the God kind of love. Yeah. Love will do no ill to its neighbor. No, wouldn't even think of that. And even when their neighbor says something or does something that's negative or wrong toward them, you just pray for them. They're growing up in that area. I made mistakes like that when I was younger. Right? You cover it with love, with forgiveness. That's what's coming. A move of sweet love. It's going to have everything else, of course. Of course. There's going to be holiness, there's going to be healing, and a whole lot of signs and wonders. Amen. We've got to get ready for it. Amen. How do we get ready for this? Work on your love. Love the Lord. Return to Him. You can't do that unless you get serious. No, you can't do it. What do I mean by get serious? It means you have to awake and arise. You got to seek the Lord. You got to start your day seeking the Lord. I preached in a church last Sunday and had a line of people waiting to talk to me afterwards. And this one man said to me, he said, "I agreed with everything you said but one thing." And I said, "I'll take that. 99% is good enough for me." He said, "No, I want to ask you about the one thing." He said, "Everything you said was so pure and so right." He said, "But, you know, I don't believe that I have to get up early and seek the Lord. I'm a night person. I seek the Lord at night." And I said, "Well, you're half right. But you do need to get up early and seek the Lord." Amen. The Bible's full of scriptures that prove that. And when you love the Lord, it won't be a have to anymore anyway. He said, amen. And I challenge you, look up Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs is full of scriptures talking about getting up early. People get up early for other reasons, right? So, right? But it says there in Proverbs chapter 8, he says, if those that love God and rise early, you know what he said? He's going to bless them with spiritual things, and he's also going to fill them with treasures. Oh. God's eyes are looking throughout the whole earth. He's looking for those that love Him. He's never changed. And when He finds somebody that's got their eyes up, He's got somebody that's seeking Him, oh yeah, He'll bless them. He'll change them spiritually, because that's the change you need, is a spiritual change. That's why it's impossible for you to change yourself. It's what the Lord does. He changes you. That's why you have to have faith in Him. And your faith won't work if you don't got the love walk working. You got to love the Lord. You see? It all works together, but you got to get the steps right. Amen. And so, the challenge is this. You got to wake up early. I asked this man, I said, "Listen, what do you do? You get up and you go to work?" And he says, no. He says, "I have breakfast with my family. When I can," he says. "And of course, I like taking a shower before I go to work. And, And I said, so you're saying that you have time to feed your body, because your body needs that nutrition, right? And you have time to clean your body, because that makes you energized, makes you feel better. And you have time to love your family, because you're a good husband, a good father, and you want to love your family, right?" He says, "Yeah, that's right, that's right." And I said, "Well, you have to choose between eating natural food and spiritual food. You should choose spiritual food. And you should love Jesus much more than you love anybody else." That's what he said. That's what you were created to do. You understand? Your Creator created you to love Him. When you don't, you're rebelling against Him. Do you understand that? This is a serious sin. So the truth is, you know, people have time for what's important to them, but what needs to be important isn't what's important to them. And Jesus is supposed to be most important. And when He becomes most important, He'll bless every corner of your life. He'll bless your family. Amen. He'll fill your life with treasures. He's promised this. Amen. And one of the greatest benefits of loving Him is it starts to become easy to live holy. The things that you used to do that you knew were wrong, they're like, "Gosh, I can't believe I did that or thought that way." It's like, wow. Amen. He does the work. We have to believe. But faith worketh by love. Amen. And so you have to love the Lord. That's the first thing you're supposed to love. And so you're going to have to work on that. You're going to have to set the alarm. You're going to have to get up. whatever it takes, because in time, it will become easier for you, and you'll look forward to it. In the beginning, yeah, get the cold water, turn on all the lights. He's a rewarder of the diligent seeker. The devil will try to stop it. He'll tempt you out, try to tempt you out of it. You may get weary in well-doing and a whole lot of other things. But if you'll stay with it and you're determined to obey the first and greatest commandment that the Lord Christ has given you, you will do exploits. Yes, you will. You will begin to know Him and you will have great faith. Amen. And together, you'll do great works. That's His will for every one of His children. He doesn't have favorites, except for those who go after Him. Amen. They are His favorites. He loves us all, but His eyes are going throughout the whole earth. Do you want it? Yeah. Well, then today you need to start by repenting. You must recognize that you haven't done this. You haven't loved the Lord. Maybe some people here have, okay? I'm not saying that. If you're doing this, then you're being encouraged to continue to do it and be faithful and be persistent and be diligent with it, right? Amen. So it may not be planting for you, but it may be watering. That's fantastic. You got what you needed. Amen. But if you haven't been doing this, or if it needs to be improved, you need to make that commitment here today. Don't put it off. Make a decision today. You're going to love the Lord like you should. And you're going to do what it takes. And if that means you have to rise up early, wake up and rise up, I guarantee you God, the Lord, will start giving you light. Just like He says there in Ephesians 5. He says, awake and arise, and Christ will give you light. He'll start building you. That's the problem with Christians. Christians aren't being built. You understand? He built His rock. He builds His church on the rock of revelation. He begins to reveal who He is to you. And when you begin to know Jesus, oh, it's easy to love Him. It's easy to trust Him. Amen. This is about getting first things first, isn't it? Amen. And this is something you need to work on every day. Every day, you need to start your day saying, Lord, I'm going to love You. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to seek You. What do I mean by early? Well, you have to work that out with the Lord. Maybe you start with something smaller. I don't know. Follow the Holy Spirit. But I want to remind you what Jesus told His disciples, His serious disciples. Could you not spend 1 hour? It takes time to get in the presence of God. It takes time for God's presence to show up. You have to wait upon that. It can happen quicker, okay? But God wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants to establish a relationship to Him where you're not just talking to Him, you're listening to Him and you're receiving light and revelation from Him all the time because you made a decision to awake and arise and He gave you light. That's when you have a strong relationship with Him. Amen? That's what He wants. That's what He can do. That's where we need to go. Amen. So today, let's get things right before we leave here. I challenge every person here to make a decision today to do what you've been taught. Get this thing right. You're in a wonderful atmosphere. It's going to be easier for you to continue in this when you come to a church like this where people are experiencing the love of God. There's no other better time to do this than right now. That's for sure. Such a time as this, you're here. Such a time as this, I'm here. And with this message, it just fits with what's going on here so well. Amen. Hook up with it. Hook up with the Lord. Go to work with Him. Be a laborer together with Him. Amen. Set your love upon Him. Tell Him what you want. Tell Him you're changing your heart. You want to live the life of Christ. You want to live godly and holy and pure. You want Him to be working in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. You want Him to prune you. You want His fire to purge you and purify you and sanctify you and wash you with the water of His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Why do you want all that? for one main reason, so you can get closer to Him. Amen. Holy people get close to God. And holy people are trusted with lots from God. And holy people are people of authority. Amen. That's what you're walking in. And that's what's going to increase. Amen. But it just comes out naturally. That's what I love about your pastor. It's simple. And that's the way truth is when you understand it. It's simple. Amen. You don't have to get all emotional about it. Smith Wigglesworth used to come in and just tell the demon in Jesus' name, be removed, and he'd walk out. People say, well, that all you're going to do? Yep, they're free. This is a man who knew God and knew the name of God. Amen. That's what we want. Amen. This message is for everyone. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter your physical condition. It's for you. Things that are impossible to us are so easy for God. Things that are impossible to us, like breathing, to Him. Right? The only reason we're not experiencing all that is because we haven't loved Him as much and our faith hasn't grown and increased as it should. Because faith comes by hearing. Better way to say it is faith comes by, not a better way, but a better way of understanding Him and saying sometimes. Faith doesn't come by you just confessing Scripture over and over and again like some kind of spell. I'm not against confession. Confession is wonderful, and we are to confess Scriptures to renew our mind and to establish our faith. But a better way of saying it is faith comes by listening and listening. Amen. You listen to what God, you want to hear God. You want ears to hear. Why in the world do I want to pray if I'm not going to hear what God says? Prayer is many things, but the main thing it is. You know what the main thing it is? It's the main thing that Jesus taught according to the law of first mention out of Matthew. Matthew was the first thing the New Testament that anybody said anything about prayer. It was Jesus. And the main thing He said is when you pray, you go in your closet, you shut the door, and you seek your Father in secret, and He'll reward you openly. Your prayer life has to be first and foremost over everything else that's important in prayer. It has to be about you knowing Him, you loving Him, you taking time with Him. Amen. That's what you were created for. Hallelujah. When you start doing that, you're going to see it. You're going to see lots of good changes. Guaranteed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. I preached way too long, but this was important. I thank you for being patient with me. But before we leave here, let's consecrate our lives. All right? Take time to get serious about this. Amen. Paul started the Ephesian epistle talking about being holy in love in chapter 1, verse 4. He told us right away what this epistle was about. We're going to get holy as we fall in love with the Lord. Amen. And then he ends it in the last verse of Ephesians. He makes these promises to those that love the Lord in sincerity. I want to be in that group. Amen. Don't you? Don't you want to love Him? Don't you think He's worth it? Don't you think He's wonderful? And so is His name. Amen. Hallelujah.